Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's Mobility Talk, part of the Charging Infrastructures and its Innovation series. We recently published a report with the Deal Room, and we found out that in 2021, in the European mobility startups developing charging solutions received 11 times more investments compared to the previous year, which is super huge. And a total segment reached the $1 billion investment milestone. And in this segment, we know that corporate venture capital are super active. They can leverage their assets, their expertise, and their industry know-how. And today, this is part of the topic we will discuss with Guillaume Lezier. Hi, Guillaume.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Thank you for accepting my invitation to come to the Mobility Talks offered by the Mobility Club, which is a private club for corporates willing to develop closer ties with the startup ecosystem, but also understand key trends in the mobility sector. To everyone, you can use the chat to say hi, to introduce yourself, and also the question tab. We take some of them after the discussion with Guillaume. Guillaume, before jumping into today's questions, please introduce yourself and tell us a few words about the FPS Ventures.
Sure. So, hi, everyone. Once again, thank you very much for having me today. So, I head the corporate venture investment team of EDF. It's basically a team of 8 people, you know, partly based in Paris, but also on the west coast of the US and in London. We are quite active as a CVC, I may say. We invested a bit less than 300 million euros over the last 4 years. We have at the moment 25 companies in our portfolio, 20 lines of investment in VC funds as well. And to say it very quickly, we have 3 investment criteria. First, the potential for decarbonation of the solutions that are provided by startups, because our strategy is to help our customers to decarbonize. It's very clear. Second criteria, it's synergies. And I think we'll come back to that later. And third criteria is obviously a financial criteria, as everyone have in the investment investment activities. And geographic focus, it's mainly Europe and North America at the moment.
Okay, thanks for this nice introduction. You've talked about it in the intro, but the synergies. So the first question is, as a corporate venture capital, what kind of synergies have you developed with EV charging startups?
Yes, so synergies obviously are very important to us. We are a strategic investor. We are not a financial investor. So it's one of our investment criteria, as I just explained. So synergies, it's very important for us, and it's really an investment criteria again, because it's related really to our competitive advantages also. If we want to use our competitive advantages as EDF, as an integrated energy utility, and if we want to be competitive in the VC market, for both, we need to use what are our assets at EDF that can be used as competitive advantage, and in particular in the mobility space and in the charging space also. So what are our assets at EDF? First, obvious, it's very obvious, but it's our electricity generation assets base. It's a very important asset for us, of course. We have a large, safe, reliable, low carbon, and at the lowest cost possible electricity, thanks to this generation capacity. So this is an important asset, because this is something that we can provide to our customers, and that we can provide supply to the EV charging space as well. And we believe that apart from the infrastructure, you know, to charge electric vehicles, it's obviously absolutely important for customers to have an electricity that is supplied to their cars that is safe, reliable, low carbon, of course, low cost, as much as possible in the current environment. And also customers want to know how much they will pay, they will have to pay for the electricity they will consume in their car. So forecasts also of the price of electricity is important, and having an asset base that you can activate when you want, apart from renewables that is less predictable, but having access to predictable assets is also very important for this forecast and for to make people know when they will have access to electricity, that it will be low cost, low carbon electricity, and what will be the cost. So second asset is the technical expertise. Obvious, again, but at EDF, we can mobilize one of the best R&D teams among the utility space in Europe. So we can provide testing sites to the companies in which we, with which we partner. We can provide complementary skills, operation experience, opportunities, support functions, and so on. I will be able to give examples, but we invested in a company called PowerUp, for instance, which provides optimization of charging of batteries, and we help them with the help of our R&D, which has great skills and experience and a lot of things to bring to this company in the management of batteries, which is very important, and we'll come back to that maybe in the mobility space as well. And third, I would say our client base, we have 40 million customers in the world. We can obviously give access in compliance with legal constraints, obviously, but we can to some extent, give access to our customer base to the companies and startups with which we work. And it's the three main assets that we have. I could also mention international footprint, for instance. We can help companies to enter new markets where we are ourselves already present. I could mention the EDF, which is very helpful to our startups in portfolio, for instance, to win tender offers. Because to win tender offers, you need to have an image of a resilience and so on that EDF brings to the startups in which we invest. But I won't focus too much on that. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, thanks. And you've talked about your international footprint. And given that, you have a kind of a great position to observe great innovation in that space. So talking about that, what are the main innovations you are looking for? And the main innovation you've identified, I would say, in the EV charging space?
Yeah, so maybe first, what do we have today in the EV charging space? We have, I guess, pretty much everything on this call knows EasyVia, you know, probably also PodPoint, which is also a subsidiary of EDF Energy in the UK. So these are both charging infrastructure providers, meaning developer with financing and operation of charging stations, mainly for the B2B space. So EasyVia, I believe it's around 7,000 charging points in France at the moment. So it's one of the leaders on the market. And with also an interoperability offer to have access to a much larger infrastructure in Europe. We also have Easy by EDF, which is more focused on the B2C selling. And that's pretty much it. In our portfolio of the CVC of EDF at the moment, we have also a few things that are pretty important for us. As an integrated utility to get positioned in this market. Frankly, as a utility, an electric vehicle is not a car for us. It's a mobile battery. It can be used in the home of our customers, you know, in the home equation of our customers. Mm-hmm. We can use it to optimize the cost of electricity. We can use it to pass some flexibility services. We can use it to balance the electric system. We can use it in our consumption forecasts and so on. And all of this has value for utility, and we can share part of this value with the customers, which is obviously one of our competitive advantage, coming back to that, and things that we can provide to our customers. So we are looking after companies that can help us to pass those services that on which we can help as a utility, frankly. So we want to use the charging to flatten the curve, you know, between peak and off-peak. We want to make the charging smart and bidirectional. So that's why we invested in V2G, for instance, in our portfolio, in a company called Drive, which is a JV with Nuvi, a Californian company focusing on V2G as well. So it's really a big area of value for us. Then we believe also that enabling the booming of the EV market is important, of course, not only for EV, but for the planet. And it means that we need to invest in enablers for the booming of the EV market. And that's why we, so maybe I'll come back to that also a bit later, but that's why we invested in some enablers. We invested, for instance, in a company called Monkey Factory, which provides a mobility as a service platform for municipalities and the local authorities. So it's a way to reference, you know, all the ways to have access to electric mobility, in particular charging stations. It's not fully implemented, but it will be probably soon. So it's an enabler, really. Then also, what is critical in our view in this market is, of course, access to real estate. That's where we invested also in another company called Zen Park, which is an operator of private shared parkings, so which gives us access to real estate in parkings. It's not an owner of parking, but still it gives us access to the owner and to the opportunity and ability to deploy infrastructure charging in such areas. And then we believed that financing was also critical to deploy and to accelerate the development of charging infrastructures. And that's why we also invested in another company called NIOT Capital, which is a structure of investment fund, which has the ability to provide equity financing packaged with bank debts to finance quite massively, because they have a firepower of several hundred million of euros, finance the deployment of charging infrastructures. And they work with several charging startups, in particular in France, but also in the UK. So that's for our investments. And then the remaining areas for us, what are they? Well, we continue to focus really on what is important for the deployment and the electrification of mobility. So what is important for that? It's the cost of the EV, it's the range of the vehicles, it's the fueling rate, basically, and the availability of the fueling stations. So when we have said that, the remaining areas for us, what are they? Where do we focus? On the charging infrastructure itself, specifically, we think that we need to accelerate on fast charging and ultra-fast charging, because we are not fully there yet. And it's a part of the offer. It doesn't answer all the customer needs, because the customer needs are partly slow charging, obviously, in particular at home or in hotels, for instance, and so on. It can be medium charging also in some cases, but we need also the offer on fast charging, and we still need to develop it further in terms of capability, in terms of number of points of source, and also in terms of technicality, because we all know that fast charging is a bit detrimental to to the lifetime, in particular, of the batteries. And that's why we invested in PowerUp that I mentioned earlier, that is able to optimize the charging of batteries and to assess the lifetime of a battery as well. So on the charging infrastructure, that's pretty much it. We also need to accelerate in some geographies where we are weaker than in France or in the UK. In particular, in Italy, we have a strong capabilities, but we need to accelerate that there. And we also need to focus a bit more on interoperability because it's really a critical area for the market, in our view. The market of charging is very fragmented, in particular in Europe, more than in the US, for instance, but in particular in Europe. So for the customer experience, it's very important to have an interoperability between the various infrastructures. So we focus on that as well. So that's for the charging. In the market areas, I'll go very quick, but we are focusing at the moment on personal vehicles, cars, really. Not that much on micro-mobility, not that much on electric planes or helicopters, not that much on heavy electric mobility as well, even if some of it is competitive with electricity, pure electricity, rather than hydrogen, for instance. So we need to understand that a bit more and focus a bit more on what could be meaningful to us apart from cars, let's say. And then in the segments of the distribution, let's say, we cover pretty much everything, but we need to focus. So we focus at the moment, mainly on real estate providers where there is good traffic, let's say, like supermarkets, parkings, public infrastructures, and so on. But we still need to focus a bit more on some segments of customers, like C&I, like co-owned properties, for instance, which is important for us and which is quite a large part of the end user markets, in particular in France, where there are a lot of co-owned properties. So these are important for us as well, and we look at potential investments in this space. And then lastly, the services. We believe that apart from those offers, in the charging space, we need to add services to the infrastructure. And services are very important. They are not only a plus, a cherry on the cake. It's really an enabler to the deployment of the market for us. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing. I've noted that some of you started asking questions in the dedicated section. I don't hesitate to ask them more questions. But Guillaume, we started to talk about services, right? About the information, the fact that consumers wants to forecast, I would say, the price they will pay at the end for charging their vehicle. The fact that it's important now for parkings also to offer charging solutions, also for real estates. But maybe beyond all the segments and the services you've already talked about, what are the other services that could favor the adoption of the EVs?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, services are very important. It's an enabler. It's not only a cherry on the cake. So it's really an area of focus for us. I could list a lot of areas, but maybe I'll focus on a few ones. First, customer experience. We think it's very important. And if there is not a good customer experience, people will be reluctant to switch to EV. As I said, the European charging market is especially fragmented compared to some other markets. In the US, ChargePoint plus Tesla, it's above 50% of the charging market, if I remember well. In Europe, it's much more fragmented, which leads to a customer experience that is not so good because it's a disjointed, customer experience with switching, from suppliers all the time and from different infrastructures and so on. So payments in that issue is especially a problem. And it's not fully clear yet, you know, if large utilities like EDF, for instance, and oil majors in particular, and so on, will improve this situation. So we started to improve it, obviously, also with EasyVia, with this pass that allows interoperability and so on. But we need to go further in that. We need to have a good customer experience who can switch, you know, all the time. Also, big enablers in the customer experience are trip optimization. Obviously, everyone has that in mind. You know, we need to optimize routes and charging opportunities that come along with it. If I want to go from Paris to Marseille with my car, I need to know exactly how I will charge my car to have the ability to do that. So this is an area that is very important for the acceptability of EV and for the booming of the market. So we look at opportunities in that as well. So generally speaking, the customer experience. Then second, B2B services. As a utility, you know, I spoke of our competitive advantages and so on. We believe that utilities like EDF are an obvious partner for B2B customers. For those who consider electrification, you know, of fleet operations, fleet of vehicles. Mm-hmm. So it's an important space for us as well. And we have some customers who ask us, you know, to provide help with them to do that, to electrify their fleets. So it's an area that is important for us as well. And we believe that we have a natural advantage in that space, as well to boost the market, you know, with technical abilities, advisory abilities, knowledge of the regulatory constraints and lobbying that we can do as well in the regulatory space. Financial support, of course, because utilities can bring not only balance sheets, even if they are constrained a bit at the moment, but also partners who trust EDF, so to finance also fleets for our customers and so on. So providing that plus planning tools plus fleet operation services tools financing also services, you know, to own and operate charging infrastructures on top of the fleets as a service, for instance, and add maybe also battery swapping to that, because in some cases it's very useful also for the fleets of our clients. And all those optimization services, it's very important for us as well. So for instance, just an example, we also think about, you know, all the issues around billing for charging the service vehicle, you know, professional vehicle at home, for instance, which is an issue. We have met some companies in this space. So all those services around B2B are a real area for focus for us as well. And then last one, coming back to the fact that we are a utility, you know, we are facing at the moment as a utility fierce competition, you know, in particular from new entrants in this market, in the market of electricity supply in particular. We see car manufacturers, for instance, coming more and more into electricity supply. We see Tesla, for instance, you know, providing pretty much everything at home now, on top of the car, you know, PV panels, batteries at home, optimization software, and so on. So it's we need, of course, to defend our position in the market as a utility, as an integrated utility, and to face also at the same time the entry into this type of market of new service providers, like I could mention Solar, for instance, in Germany, who are totally new companies, but providing good customer experience to sell everything, you know, that you need at home in terms of electrified production, consumption, charging and so on. So we have all this competition coming, and it's natural, of course, but to respond to that, our strategy is clearly not at the moment to become a car manufacturer. You know, we are not about to launch the EDF car to the market. That's not our strategy. Our strategy is more to focus on our competitive advantages. Again, sorry to come to that, but it's important to be able to provide the right services, what us EDF we can provide. So it's everything around charging. You know, we have specific skills and competencies in the everything around the home, vehicle to home, solar panels, storage, and integration with storage at home, smart charging, intuitive charging interface at home, V2G, you mentioned it, and all that can come along with that, and all the fact that we can use all the data that we get from our customer consumption and behavior to use it to create value and to create value by optimizing, in particular, the cost of energy for our customers. And as a utility, with the vision we have of the, for instance, the French market as a whole, the network, the balance of the market, the forecast of prices, the fact that we have assets to produce electricity as well, we have the ability to be better than the others, to value this data we have from the customers. So all the services that can help us to value that are important to us. So everything that I just mentioned, it can be a lot of B2B2C business models as well, like providing, of course, energy supply contracts to our customers when they are buying an EV, selling charging infrastructure plus PV panels plus storage when our customers are also buying an EV, and all these types of things. And on top of that, as a utility, also I will mention that we have a specific skill in batteries, battery management, and as I mentioned, we need to go further in battery optimization. We believe it's an important part of the market as well, because as for traditional cars, the second-hand market for EV, we believe it's going to become very important, like for thermal cars. And for that, it will be absolutely critical to be able to assess, you know, the health of batteries, which is a very large part of the value of an EV. So we will need to certify the health of batteries, and also to optimize the charging of batteries. If we need, you know, the batteries, if we charge fast sometimes, slow some other times, if we charge and discharge because we use a V2G, V2H, and so on. So it damages batteries. So we need to optimize that. We need to have better technologies of batteries on one side, but we also need softwares to optimize all that and to analyze the health of batteries on the other side. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there's a lot to be built actually in terms of services, which is exciting at the end for favoring EV adoption. Thank you, Guillaume. We exceeded a lot the initial time, but if you have a few minutes again, Guillaume, we can take some questions. Maybe we can go fast on them. The first one is how the EV connected to the grid is the reality today. What are your statements, your observation in terms of a connection to the grid for EVs?
Yeah, it's a reality today. It's a reality today, but the market is not there yet. It's not really there yet, so it needs to boom, you know, and we expect it to boom. As I said, you know, it will be important to provide the full value to customers, to have the ability to use their car when they need to use it, but to use it as a battery to sell electricity to the market when market prices are high, like now, for instance, if they manage to charge the battery when the price was lower. So all this value exists as of today already, but the first step, you know, is to massively deploy EV. And in my view, you know, those services will come a bit later. They are gaining speed at the moment, but they still need to gain pace, frankly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Again, another question, if we can go quick on that. How do you see the expansion plans on European global scale of the companies you invested in?
Yeah, so we each time we invest in a company, we consider opportunities to deploy the services of the companies in other markets. So at EDF, we have a particular presence, you know, in Europe, in France, the UK, Italy, and Germany also more and more. So all our French startups, for instance, we consider how we could deploy their services in the UK, in Italy, in Germany. Usually it's not, you know, the top priority of a startup or the first priority of a startup to deploy internationally, but very quickly it becomes a question for startups, and we are very happy to help them with that thanks to our international network.
Okay, maybe a last question. How do you plan to analyze the health of the batteries? You've talked about the certification. I mean, there's some of new startup and new entrants coming into that space. Also, incumbents are looking at this. What's your vision on that?
Yeah, so it's true that there are a number of companies, you know, getting into this space at the moment. What is important for us is to use what we know, what are our assets, once again, what are our competitive advantages. Mm-hmm. We have an R&D at EDF, which is powerful, one of the largest R&D teams in utilities in Europe. Our R&D department has great skills and experience and expertise on batteries. So we use that to improve the capabilities of this company first, PowerUp, in which we invested, who is focusing on the battery optimization and state of health analysis and certification. So that's how we do it. You know, we believe we will have one of the top services in this space in the market, thanks to the companies we partner with, but also to our own capabilities in our R&D department. And we have a long-standing experience at EDF in batteries. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Guillaume. So it was super, super interesting. We exceeded a lot, but it was an exciting conversation. Thanks again, and thanks everyone for attending this mobility talk. Guillaume, you've talked about new entrants and customer experience. The next talk on Thursday will be with Electra co-founder Augustin Derville. So we'll deep dive into this new model and strategy. Thanks again, Guillaume, and thanks everyone, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.